Now it's 8:30 and time for Saturday Night Theatre.
Captain of Heretics by Anthony Reed, starring Charles Kay as William Tyndall, with Clifford Rose as Thomas Poyntz and Hugh Dixon as Sir Thomas More.
Master Tyndale, did you ever see so many fine churches?
No, Ned. Oh, such a crush of bodies.
Hey, you!
Did you see that, Master Tyndale, sir? That rascal nearly had your purse. I don't trust these London city folk.
Perhaps you'd better look after it for me, Ned.
Aye, sir. I'll fasten it inside my jerkin. It'll be safe from rogue's fingers there.
Enter.
Excuse me, I'm looking for the bishop's secretary.
What is your business?
I want... Heppelthwaite!
Yes.
William Heppelthwaite! Why, this is a piece of good fortune. Surely you remember me? William Tyndall? Oxford?
Why, yes! How are you, Tyndall?
I'm in excellent health, thank you. And even better spirits, now I've found a familiar face.
Well, what can I do for you?
Are you Bishop Tunstall's secretary?
I have that honour.
I congratulate you. You've obviously done well for yourself since you came down.
It will serve for the moment. Let me see now. You went on to Cambridge, did you not?
I wanted to improve my Greek.
Yes. One feels that Cambridge is a little tainted these days since the book burnings. Were you there then?
I was. It was a terrible sight.
Oh?
As the books went up in flames, the whole of Cambridge was covered in black snowflakes. It was snowing scripture, and every flake was in deep black mourning for the murder of truth.
And are you still up, taking your doctorate?
No. I left Cambridge immediately after Wolsey's bonfire.
Ah. And what have you been doing with yourself?
I've been teaching and preaching in Gloucestershire.
Whatever possessed you to take yourself off there?
It's my home county. I've been tutoring while I gathered my thoughts. A good family, Sir John Walsh.
Yes, yes, well, it is pleasant to see you again, Tyndall. And now that you've finally found your way to London, I expect we shall hear more of you. London's full of opportunities for anyone with a good mind. But I am rather busy just now, so...
I have a letter of introduction to Bishop Tunstall from Sir Henry Guildford. He is a friend of Sir John, my former employer.
Thank you. What do you want of the bishop? A position?
Not exactly, though, I'm seeking authority to make translations. And since everyone knows Bishop Tunstall is something of a humanist and a scholar, a friend of Erasmus and Colet, I thought he might be sympathetic. I've brought an example of my abilities, a letter of Isocrates, which I've translated from the Greek, here.
What do you want to translate, Tyndall, that you need the bishop's authority?
Why... The scriptures, of course. The Bible. What else?
He wants what?
To translate the scriptures into English, my lord.
Some kind of lollard, is he, Heppelthwaite?
No, my lord, no. He is an ordained priest and a genuine scholar.
Which university?
Both, my lord. Oxford first and then Cambridge.
Indeed. An ordained priest and a genuine scholar. Well, that's something of a rarity these days. Do you think he could be useful to us here?
Well, I doubt it, my lord. He has a fine brain, but I fear he is a little unworldly.
You mean he really does want to translate the Bible?
Yes, my lord.
I see. What have you done with him, Heppelthwaite?
Well, I've told him to bide his time in London until you send for him, my lord.
Good, good, good. Keep an eye on him, Heppelthwaite. Do you understand?
Yes, he is being watched, my lord, and I've taken the liberty of writing to Cambridge and to Gloucester for reports on him.
How does he pass his time?
He appears to spend most of his days studying, my lord. But he also preaches at St. Dunstan's in the West.
I tell you, my friends, you shall never have rest in your soul, nor shall the worm of conscience cease gnawing at your heart till you come to Christ, till you hear the glad tidings proclaimed in the scriptures that God, for his sake, has forgiven everything to you freely. Put your trust in Christ. Build your house on that rock and dwell there. And may the God of all mercy give you grace so to do, unto whom be glory evermore. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Master Tyndall, you spoke well today, sir.
Thank you, Ned. I'm glad you approve.
Oh, sir.
Now, how are your letters coming along? Have you been practicing?
I have, sir. See, I have a paper here.
Good. Good, Ned. You're a quick pupil. You learn well.
Master Tyndall. Sir. Master Tyndall. My name is Monmouth. Humphrey Monmouth. I'm a merchant.
Master Monmouth.
I have listened to several of your sermons here. I would like to talk with you.
I should be very pleased.
Will you sup with me? My house is nearby.
I am not alone. As you see, I have a companion.
Oh, that's all right, sir. You go on, get some good food in your belly.
This is Ned. He looks after me in this wicked city. He's only a country lad, but I fear he already knows more of the ways of the world than I do.
Well, I dare say my cook could find a stool for the lad in my kitchen.
Say yes, sir. Say yes.
Very well, Master Monmouth. Lead on.
You've been lodging at the Standard, you say?
I have. It's a noisy place, not the most conducive to study, but it is somewhere to lay my head. Though how much longer I shall be able to afford to stay, I can't tell. I hardly expected my Lord Bishop would keep me waiting so long. It's been over 3 months already.
With a project such as yours, he'd have you waiting forever if he could.
A project such as mine. You know what I'm here for.
I do. I had word about you from a friend in Antwerp.
I don't understand. How could anyone in Antwerp...
A merchant adventurer named Thomas Poyntz. I believe you were in the household of his cousin in Gloucestershire, Lady Walsh.
I was. But why should he write to you about me?
Forgive me. I would have approached you sooner, but I had to be sure you really were what you seemed to be.
Well, now I'm more confused than ever. Why should I not be what I appear?
Your innocence does you credit, Master Tyndall. I wish we could all afford to be so.
I was never very good at riddles, Master Monmouth.
Poyntz wrote to me because we are both members of a brotherhood.
The merchant adventurers, yes.
No, I'm speaking of something which, sadly, has to be kept secret for fear of our lives.
Your lives?
The Christian Brethren.
Ah, I begin to understand.
Good. We are laymen who want to see a return to a simple faith. We want to see the church cleansed and purged of its excesses and its corruption. It's become too worldly. It interferes in matters which shouldn't concern it and neglects those which should, while its princes and prelates grow fat on our tithes.
How many of you are there?
Only a few, but our numbers are growing all the time. Many of us are merchants and traders. We have connections everywhere, all through England and in Germany and the Low Countries.
You are the ones who bring in books and traps from Germany.
Yes. We smuggle them in with our merchandise.
Fuel for the Cardinal's bonfires.
Ah, yes. But flames spread light as well as heat. Every time they burn our books, they draw attention to our cause. And there are plenty more books now that the craft of printing is becoming established. Printing, Master Tyndall, is God's special gift to our movement.
And to my purpose.
Will you join us, then? I know from your sermons that you could be the guide, the leader we have been waiting for.
I?
You are a priest.
You have no need of priests any more than you do of saints. The scriptures are enough. It's all there, clearly stated.
But obscured from us by language. We need you, Master Tyndall. We need your knowledge and learning. In return, we can give you all the money you need to accomplish your task and help with printing and a certain amount of protection.
You talk like a merchant, striking a bargain.
It's what I am. Will you accept?
No.
I beg you.
My faith and my accomplishments, such as they are not for sale. They come from God, and as such they are yours by right, freely.
God bless you, and God preserve you. Will you accept what I can offer you? Freely, then. Not as a bargain, but in Christian charity.
In Christian charity? How can I refuse?
I shall provide you with all your necessities. You must move into my house tonight.
I am sorry it has taken so long for you to obtain this interview, Tyndall. I trust you've been able to use your time fruitfully.
Thank you, Edward. I have been well occupied with my studies and my preaching.
Oh, yes, your preaching, yes. Well, come along, man. Don't lag. We mustn't keep his lordship waiting.
I must warn you that this may not be a long audience. My lord has Sir Thomas More with him, and no doubt they have matters of great importance to discuss.
Oh, no doubt.
Yes. Here we are. Master Tyndall, my lord.
Ah, Tyndall. Come in, man. Come in.
My lord.
I understand you're seeking a place in my household.
I'm seeking your patronage, my lord.
Why mine particularly?
I know your reputation as a scholar, my lord, and your support of the new learning.
Do I have a reputation as a scholar? What do you say, Sir Thomas?
I believe you have, Dunstall, in a small way.
Well, Master Tyndall, it seems that the great Sir Thomas More agrees with you, and so I must listen, mustn't I?
I would be most grateful, my lord.
And what about your scholarship, eh? The universities both speak very highly of your abilities, and I showed your translation to Sir Thomas here. He was most impressed. Is that not so, Sir Thomas?
A good, honest piece of work. Yes.
The question is, however, what do you wish to use your skills as a translator for, eh?
With your consent, my lord, I wish to translate the scriptures into English.
For what purpose?
Why, so that everyone may receive the word of God.
Do they not receive it now?
No, my lord. When the clergy alone are allowed to read the scriptures and precious few of them can understand any Latin, how can they pass on the word to the people?
They pass on the teachings of the church. As long as they can understand that, they are fulfilling their duty.
No, Sir Thomas, in all humility, I cannot accept what you say.
I'm sorry, Tunstall. I should not interfere, but I find it hard to keep silent when I hear Master Tyndall proposing such a dangerous course.
He is indeed. Do you not see, Tyndall, that the words of the scriptures are open to misinterpretation, and that untutored folk may read meanings into them which are not only erroneous, but perilous?
I know that the words can be twisted and tortured until their meaning is quite obscured. I know that at the universities, students are not allowed to read the scriptures until they've been nozzled in false doctrines and sophistry for 8 or 9 years, so that by the time they are allowed to read them, they're likely to be incapable of understanding the plain, simple meanings which were written.
Take care, Tyndall, before you attack the teachings of the church. They have been developed over the centuries for the good of the people.
Or the good of the church. My lord, we should be giving the people the teachings of Christ, not of popes and prelates.
The people are not capable of understanding those teachings without guidance. If you present them with the scriptures unadorned, how are they to know of the allegorical, tropological, and anagogical meanings? All they will see is the literal meaning, which we all know to be the least important of the four.
With respect, my lord, I would dispute that. I believe the literal to be the only meaning of any importance.
And would you leave the poor people to make their own interpretations?
The place of the laity is to accept, not to question, Tyndall. It is very simple for them. All that is demanded of them is that they should accept the authority of the church and its hierarchy via which the grace of God is mediated to them.
There you have it, Master Tyndall. Once you place the burden of responsibility for deciding these things on the people themselves, you destroy their peace forever.
No!
You promote discord where there should be harmony. Every dissident soul will propound his own opinion. The gates of Christendom will be thrown wide open to anarchy. The church is a fine, seamless garment, Master Tyndall, which clothes its children securely against the cold winds of doubt and disbelief. What you are proposing would tear that garment into shreds, leaving the weak and helpless exposed to the icy blasts.
To those stifled for want of the truth, Sir Thomas, your icy blasts may be welcome breezes of fresh, untainted air.
Untainted? Untainted... By what, pray?
by the superstitions and malpractices which have taken over the church.
Take care, Tyndall. What do you mean by superstitions?
The ways in which the church allows simple-minded souls to believe that a glimpse of some piece of stone will guarantee them forgiveness of sins and a place in heaven. The greedy demands for money, for worthless indulgences, and masses for the dead, and candles to saints to speak for souls in purgatory, when the very notion of purgatory is an invention of man or of the devil. And the Bible states categorically that a man needs no mediator to speak to God on his behalf. It is dishonesty for the church to take money from poor folk to purchase salvation, when the Bible tells us salvation is free to all men who believe.
You twist the meaning of the Bible.
No, sir.
You do, if you deny the existence of purgatory.
There is no mention of purgatory anywhere in the whole realm of Scripture. But then it seems to me that there are precious few churchmen today with any knowledge of the Scriptures on which our faith is founded. When I was in the Diocese of Gloucester, trying to provide nourishment for the starving souls who were neglected by the regular clergy, in all my travels I found scarce half a dozen priests who even possess a copy of the Bible. I even found priests who could not translate the Lord's Prayer, but prated it as sounds they'd learned like a tame jackdaw. And in some cases, priests could not even tell me the author of that same prayer. When your regular priests are like that, do you wonder I should wish to bring enlightenment directly to the people?
That will do. You were warned about your opinions by the Vicar General of Gloucester. Have you paid no heed?
The Vicar General, my lord, berated me like a dog, and then told me he would rather be without God's law than that of the church, should I heed a man like that.
He was perfectly correct. The church cannot err. If you attack the church, you attack the very foundations of Christian society.
I made him a promise, Sir Thomas. I shall make the same to you, and to you, my lord bishop. If God sees fit to spare my life for just a little longer, I shall cause the boy that drives the plough to know more of the Scriptures than you do.
No more, Tyndall, no more. You shall not have my authority to translate one word of the Scriptures. I have been very patient with you. I have allowed you to preach your heretical opinions from the pulpits of my diocese for the best part of 12 months, while I have considered what to do with you, and hoped that you would turn from your wickedness. But no more.
I'm not to preach.
No.
If I cannot preach, and I cannot write, what can I do?
You have a good mind and a good education. There are plenty of opportunities in London for an enterprising young man with your qualifications. But change your opinions, or at the least, keep them to yourself. Otherwise, I warn you, you are likely to burn.
I apologize for troubling you, my lord. I begin to see there is no room for me in this England. By your leave, my lord.
You may go.
You're too lenient, Tunstall.
Oh, he won't dare proceed now.
He's a heretic, and the worst kind, too. He doesn't just want to keep his views. He wants to share them and spread them to others.
Come, Thomas. We can control him. He's a nobody. A dreamer.
That's what the German emperor said 3 years ago about Martin Luther. And now look what's happening to the Holy Roman Empire. It's shattering into 1,000 fragments.
Thomas, he's no Luther.
We shall see. I still say you should burn him. Now. Before it's too late. He's condemned himself 100 times over. Mark what I tell you, as a friend. Burn him. While you can.
Yeah, bitte?
Oh, good day to you, ma'am. Is this the house of Mistress Margaret Van Emerson?
You are from England?
Yeah, yes.
I'm Frau Van Emerson. What can I do for you?
I have a message for someone who might be staying with you.
Come in, quickly. Turn to the fire, boy. You look frozen. You should have thicker clothes while you're travelling. Oh,
thank you, ma'am. I never knew Hamburg would be so cold.
Spring comes later to Hamburg than to London, I think. The ice is only now melting on the Elbe.
That's right, ma'am. The old Thames has been free of it for weeks. Ooh, that's better. You keep a good fire burning.
Why, Ned! Ned! Is it really you here in Germany?
Oh, Master Tyndale. Oh, it's good to see you again, sir.
And you, lad. Did Monmouth send you? He couldn't have picked a more welcome messenger.
That's true for me, sir.
Well, let me look at you. You've filled out in the last 12 months.
Aye, sir. It's Master Monmouth's good board that does that.
He's teaching you well.
Oh, indeed he is, sir. He's taken me on as apprentice.
Now, Master Tyndale, let the lad thaw out. He's had a long journey.
Oh, that's all right, ma'am. It's warmed my heart right through to see Master Tyndale again.
Then you will be ready to eat. I go see in the kitchen what we have.
Thank you, Margaret. That's a good woman, Ned. But how she does fuss.
Aye, sir. That's the mark of all good women.
Oh, you're an expert in such matters now, are you?
Me, sir? No, sir. But I can see you've got a good billet here.
I have that.
Oh, I'm right glad to see it, sir. I've been a mite fretted about you on your own here in Germany. You need somebody to look after you. How goes the work, sir? Is it accomplished?
Yes, lad. My translation is finished. My New Testament is nearly ready for the press. Now, what have you brought me from London?
Master Monmouth has sent you £10, sir, which I have here, and a letter. Mm-hmm. And he says to tell you the brethren have made arrangements for a printer for you.
Excellent. Who is he?
Peter Quintal, sir. His shop is in Cologne.
Cologne? But Cologne's a city that opposes us.
Master Monmouth said to tell you that Peter Quintal is the best printer for the work and that he can keep it secret while it's in the press.
Very well. But when you return to England, tell Master Monmouth I must have someone to assist me in seeing the book through the press. Perhaps he could send me someone from England to join me in Cologne.
Hear me! I am John Dubnik, known to you as Cockneus, the scourge of heretics. I am come to you as the defender of the one true faith and the one true and holy Catholic Church. I call on you, citizens of Cologne.
Quintal, listen.
Ach, that man. He should have stayed in Frankfurt. They should have thrown him to the peasants.
But is it safe for us to go on with our work while he's here in Cologne, rousing the rabble like that?
Nobody knows what you are doing here, only my men. And they are sworn to secrecy. You are quite safe, so close the window and come away. Cochleus will not suspect us. We are printing a book for him, too.
Here? You're printing his book here?
How could I refuse?
Oh, now I'm more fearful than before. I wish my work was done, but it's a slow task without an assistant.
The brethren in England have promised to send such a man. Now don't fear. He will come.
Mastiff, come, ready to Ipswich town. Nor will his team the king's gold crown.
There he is, Master Tyndale, the English squire. We must get him out of here before he upsets everything.
He's very drunk, Herr Quintal.
And he shouts about cardinals and bishops and kings. Such talk is not wise in Cologne, even in English.
I'll speak to him.
More wine, I say.
No more wine for you, my friend, not tonight.
What? Who are you? Hey, you're English. Have a drink.
No, thank you, but... What? No, we must leave here quickly. You'll be in danger.
Danger? In Cologne? After what I've seen on the way here? I tell you, my friend, this place is a secure haven. Do you know what's going on out there? Bloody war, that's what's going on. The peasants are in revolt. There's killing and pillage and murder. There's corpses hanging from every tree on the road. The roads are choked with the dead and the dying. I thought I'd never get here. And you want to deny me a little drink?
Who are you?
William Roy, observant prior of the Franciscan Order of Greenwich. At your service, sir.
What are you doing in Cologne?
Looking for an Englishman. I was sent.
By Humphrey Monmouth?
That's correct. Are you Tyndale?
I am.
Tyndall! I've come a long way to find you.
Get him out of here.
Have some wine.
I don't drink wine. Now, will you come with us?
What? Come with you? Where to?
To my lodging over Master Quentil's print shop.
In a little while.
Now? What? Unless you want to join those poor souls hanging from your roadside trees.
Oh, very well. Money's all gone anyway.
I'll pay his bill. Just get him away.
Here we are, Master Tyndale. Another sheet.
Thank you, Herr Quentel. We are progressing well.
Progressing well? It's the slowest work I was ever involved in.
We have reached already letter K in the sections, Master Roy. We can go no faster.
After 2 days followed Easter and the days of sweetbread. And the high priests and scribes sought means how they might take him by craft and put him to death. But they said not on the feast day, lest any business arise among the people.
Good. Next paragraph.
Oh, my throat's parched. I must have my wages today.
You shall have them when we finish this section. Now read.
You're a hard, humorless taskmaster, Tyndall.
Read!
When he was in Bethania at the house of Simon the leper, even as he sat at meat, there came a woman with an alabaster box of ointment called nard that was pure and costly. And she broke the box and poured it on his head. Master Tyndale! Master Tyndale, wake up!
What? Master Quentel?
You must come quickly.
What's happened?
Friar Roy got drunk this evening in the...
I should never have paid him. When he has money in his purse, there's no contending the man.
This time it's serious. He talked.
About our work? To whom?
To Cocleus himself, the self-proclaimed scourge of heretics. Now bring everything, all your belongings. You will have to leave Cologne tonight.
But tonight? With the printing unfinished?
Cocleus has gone to the city authorities for men and a warrant to search my workshop for your Bible. If they find anything and catch you, you could end up in the fire. Come now, quickly.
But where shall I go?
You must go up the Rhine. I have a friend with a boat going upstream. He will take you and the pages already printed.
But the forms in your workshop?
My men are breaking them up. When Cocleus and his friends arrive, all they will find will be heaps of jumbled type.
Thomas, what's this you bring me?
A letter. From Germany, no less.
Not from Martin Luther, I trust.
No, Tunstall. Listen. To His Eminence the Cardinal Wolsey. From Johannes Cochleus, lately Dean of Frankfurt am Main. A warning. There are two Englishmen who were lately in the city of Cologne, where they were attempting to print some 3,000 copies of the New Testament translated into English. Their purpose, with the support of merchants plying between England and the states of the empire, was to insinuate these heretical works into your country, to mislead and subvert your people. I would have apprehended these two heretics, but they were warned before I could do so, and fled up the Rhine. My inquiries suggest that they are now lodged in the city of Worms, where they are proceeding with their purpose.
Does he name the Englishmen, Thomas?
One is a Franciscan friar. The other, he says, is an ordained priest named Hutchins.
Hutchins?
Otherwise known as Tyndall.
William Tyndall? In Germany?
I told you, Tunstall. You should have had him burnt while he was here in your hands. Now, it may be too late.
Friar Roy!
Yes?
Come here, quickly!
Yes. What is it?
Look!
The book? Finished?
The first copy of 6,000. How do you think it looks?
Well,
I think it's the most beautiful thing I ever laid my eyes on.
Finished at last.
After all these months of hiding, all these years of dreaming. And now, it's such a little book.
All the easier for hiding.
Such a... A little book, but such a great purpose. I tell you, Roy, this little octavo volume is the biggest book that will ever be seen in England. I'm holding in my one hand something that will light up a whole nation.
Aye, I believe it will. Now, can I have my money?
Now? Why now?
You've not allowed me one farthing, one mite to myself since we left Cologne. Now the job's done, I want to celebrate. And I dare say you'll be glad to be rid of me, eh? I know I've been a trial to you.
You've been necessary to me. I could not have accomplished the task without your help, and for that I am grateful. And I shall always be grateful.
You won't need me to help you ship the books to England?
No. Here's my purse. It contains all I have left. Take it and go.
Oh, thank you.
And may God go with you.
Master Tyndall.
Yes?
Welcome to Antwerp, my friend. Thomas Poyntz, at your service.
Master Poyntz! Oh, it's good to meet you at last.
Your letter about me to Master Monmouth helped set me on my way. And I know how much more you have done since. I'm grateful to you, sir.
I would do as much for any man who is dedicated to the cause of freedom.
Amen. So would we all.
You've had a safe journey from Worms?
A wonderful journey, I thank you. The Rhine is a most pleasing highway in the springtime.
But it has its dangers in these troubled times.
I will confess that my heart did beat a little too quickly for comfort at times, particularly in Cologne. We were forced to spend a night there, and I swear I heard Cuclaeus's voice in every creak of the boat's timbers.
You're a brave man, Master Tyndall. The books are safe?
They are. We're surrounded by them. They're hidden securely in the base of every pipe and cask aboard.
May I see one?
Of course. Here. It is, as you see, only a book.
I thank God that I've been spared to see it. We shall open the eyes of the people of England as they have never been opened before. The brethren there are in a ferment of excitement waiting for it.
Then you will ship it across quickly.
No. They are not the only ones waiting for it. Wolsey has got wind of it too.
How?
Only has spies everywhere. You know that. He has agents in Europe at this moment searching for you.
But surely I'm not important enough to warrant such attention.
Believe me, Master Tyndall, you are the most important Englishman in the entire world just now. And the most dangerous in the eyes of Wolsey and Moore.
They flatter me. It's the book that threatens them, not I.
Nevertheless, if they can get their hands on you, they'll burn you alongside it. Moore raided the Steelyard in London last week and found some Lutheran books. He had the most important merchants hauled off to Westminster, where they were ordered to pay heavy fines and forbidden to leave the country. He was very disappointed not to find your New Testament there.
Then he knows it's not in the country yet.
Well, he thinks it may have been brought in by other means. And Wolsey's ordered a great search for books throughout the whole of London. He aims to have another bonfire at St. Paul's. It would be pointless sending our books until that's all done with.
But can they stay here?
They'll be safe in my warehouse, still hidden at the bottom of the casks. But we must get you away. If they find you, they'll know the books are here too.
I could go to Hamburg. Margaret van Emerson would hide me till we get word from London.
Master Monmouth.
Hmm?
Master Monmouth.
Oh, Ned, Ned. Oh, steady, lad. What's amiss?
I've just come from St. Paul's, sir.
You heard Bishop Tunstall's sermon.
He says he's found more than 2,000 errors and heresies in Master Tyndall's translation. That can't be right, can it, sir?
No, Ned, indeed it cannot. You know, I know Tunstall's heresies. Every I that's missing its jot is a heresy to him. Every word that could possibly have another translation from the Latin, no matter how corrupt the Latin might be, is an error if Master Tyndall chose it.
But they were burning Bibles, sir. Burning the word of God itself. How can they do that?
They are only burning paper, and paper can be replaced. They can never destroy the word itself. Remember that, and be strong.
Aye, sir. I'll try.
I've important work for you.
Yes, sir?
You're to go to Antwerp for me, to speak to Master Poyntz. Tell him we're in desperate need of more books. The demand is greater than we ever dreamed it would be. Tell him the word is spread throughout all England and the people are clamoring for copies.
The bishops had notices posted all over the city, sir, condemning the book.
Excellent, excellent. We can only tell folk about it secretly, but he's doing our job for us and advertising it to every citizen in London.
That's true, sir. You can be sure there's no man left who doesn't know about it. I managed to tear one of his notices down, sir, without anybody seeing.
Let me see it.
I thought we might send one to Master Tyndall, sir.
He's ordered that all my testaments are to be handed in to his vicar general within 30 days on pain of excommunication. Why? Why can they not see? I make no claim that my work is perfect. I thought that when they saw it, they would have to acknowledge the truth.
William, my dear, you must not despair.
What have I begun, Margaret? They've started arresting good men in England for reading my testament. They're torturing them and chaining them and flogging them. Soon they'll be putting them to death.
For reading the words of the Lord. Not your words, William. Think what they did to Jesus for saying the words in the first place. And to the apostles. You know, men who hold power and authority and riches have never been very fond of the truth. It threatens their position.
I know, Margaret, I know. Forgive me. Self-doubt is a dubious pastime at the best, and it's a poor recompense for those who have helped me and supported me and relied on me.
That's quite enough of that, my dear. Now, you give that paper to me. There is only one place for papers such as this. There. They burn your books. We burn their paper. That's good, eh?
That's good, yes.
Now you get some rest. You have been working too hard again. You need rest.
I can't rest now, Margaret. There's too much to be done. I must make a proper start on the Old Testament.
I should have known.
But I need more reference books, more help with my Hebrew.
I think there is no one who could help you with your languages. I never knew such a man for speaking languages. Greek and Latin and German, Italian and French and Hebrew and Spanish. Is there any language you do not know?
You forgot to mention English.
You.
But I still need to improve my Hebrew, and that means I shall have to leave Hamburg again.
You can't go away from here. You know it is too dangerous. The English agents and the Emperor's agents, too, are hunting for you everywhere.
And it's time I did move on. The longer I stay, the more dangerous it is for you.
No.
Yes, it is, and you know it.
Where will you go? You can't go back to Antwerp. Not yet.
The new university at Marburg has a fine professor of Hebrew.
Is Marburg safe?
Luther recommended it to me. He says the ruler is a believer.
All the same, I shall pray to God every day to watch over you.
Your garden is a delight, Thomas, after the stench of the city.
Yes, Chelsea has much to recommend it. Particularly when my friends are here.
I'm not surprised the king likes to visit you.
The king thinks I might be persuaded to advise him differently away from the circumstance of the court. That's his reason for coming. What's yours?
Do I need a reason?
No, but I can see you have one. Will you tell me before we dine?
Books, Thomas.
Books?
We must do something about them. The English New Testaments are still flooding into the country. Tyndale disappeared nearly 2 years since, but that hasn't stopped printers in Antwerp and elsewhere bringing out their own editions. Obviously, without his knowledge, the quantity of printing errors increases with each new version.
The imperial authorities in Germany and the Low Countries are too slack in hunting down these purveyors of evil.
Europe's in such a turmoil, who can say what's possible or not? And now, Tyndale himself has surfaced again. He's not content any longer simply to translate the scriptures.
What now?
He's published a prologue to Paul's epistle to the Romans. Pure Lutheranism, plus a good deal of his own.
A tract?
No more than that. A statement of doctrine based on justification through faith alone and making a vicious attack on ceremony and tradition and good works.
In other words, a direct attack on the authority of the church. Exactly what led to the present state of affairs in Germany. If we allow ideas like that to circulate in England, we'll have the same results. Murder, pillage, sacrilege, bloody revolution, and anarchy. We must stop these ideas from spreading.
Amen, amen. But I begin to think that every ship that lands in England from the continent is laden down with books. I doubt if there's a bale of cloth that comes in that is not now simply a wrapping for testaments and tracts. They seem to be everywhere.
I can vouch for that, to my cost, seeing they've even penetrated my own household.
How is your son-in-law?
I managed to rescue him from Wolsey when he was arrested for reading banned books. The problem now is to rescue him from himself.
Always a more difficult task. But what are we to do about all those who are led astray by these books and don't have the advantage of being married to your daughter?
You must find ways of protecting them. The church must stand firm.
We shall go on trying to intercept the books.
And buying them? Like the Archbishop of Canterbury?
Warren bought all the copies he could lay his hands on and burnt them, Thomas. Once they were burnt, they couldn't be read.
But the more you burn, the more they print. You're only destroying copies. And since the invention of printing, it's a quick and simple matter to replace them. In fact, I've no doubt the heretics rubbed their hands with glee when they got the Archbishop's money to pay for printing double the quantity he'd burnt.
But what else can we do when we can't take the men themselves?
We must fight them with their own weapons.
What weapons are those?
My books, of course. If the people of this country are in a ferment to read, then you must give them matter to read that will refute the works of Tyndall and his crew.
To do that, we must have an author who can rival Tyndall in the English tongue.
Then find one.
I already have.
Excellent. Where is he?
Standing next to me right now.
Tunstall, how can I?
Better than any man in the kingdom.
There are not enough hours in my day as it is. You know how many duties I already have.
And now you have one more.
You'd considered this before.
I must confess I have.
You came here specifically to burden me with the greatest responsibility in the country.
Greater than the king's great matter?
Of course. The church must always be greater than any prince or kingdom within it.
There. I knew that was your opinion. And that's why you're the only man for the job, Thomas. The people of this country know you. They trust you. They admire you.
There's no need to descend to flattery.
Anyway, you can't refuse, can you?
You know I can't.
Then stop protesting and go to it.
You're forgetting one thing.
Yeah?
As a good Catholic, I haven't read any of their books or translations. I'm not allowed to.
What sort of a fool do you take me for? Yeah.
What?
This letter from me to you gives you license to read heretical works in order that you may refute them. Now, the whole of England will be able to enjoy the same privilege as your son-in-law.
Oh, Tunstall. What have you done to me?
I've given you the greatest opportunity that any Englishman ever enjoyed. The church needs a champion, Thomas. And we've chosen you. Now, may we go to dine? I find I've developed quite an appetite.
Master Tyndall? Master Tyndall, are you there?
Yes, Master Poyntz.
Will you come down? We have a visitor.
Very well. Who is it? John Frith.
Well.
My dear, dear friend. Oh, Master Poyntz, you brought me the finest present in the world. This is my best friend and supporter in Cambridge.
It's good to see you, Will.
I feared I'd never see you again. But what are you doing in Antwerp?
Well, I've come to join you. I've left England.
Fled?
Aye. Oh,
you look pale, John. You do not look well. What have they done to you?
You look tired yourself.
No, it's nothing with me, honest tiredness, that's all. I've just finished a new book. Now come and sit down, tell me all about yourself.
Have you eaten? Shall I have something brought? Thank you, sir, but no, my poor stomach's still all at sea. I find I'm not a good sailor.
Oh, then I'll leave you for the moment.
I have business to attend to with the captain of the ship that brought you.
We shall see you later, Master Poyntz.
Of course.
Now, John, I've waited a long time for you to come. You're not the first, you know. Our numbers here are growing all the time.
Yes, I'd heard.
Miss Simon Fish and George Joyer and George Constantine. Oh,
and our old friend Miles Coverdale.
Yes, I knew Coverdale.
And do you remember Robert Barnes, who was the prior of the Augustinians in Cambridge?
Ah, yes, of course.
They had him locked away at Northampton, but a friend warned him he would burn and helped him to escape. He left a letter to Wolsey saying he'd gone to drown himself. Then while they were busy searching for his body, he got rid of his habit and put on plain clothes and slipped away to London. And he arrived safely here a few days ago.
I wonder if they're still trying to find the body.
Oh, now, John, tell me about yourself.
I went to Oxford as a junior canon in Wolsey's new college. There was a whole group of us there who got together to read and discuss the scriptures. You can't know the effect your New Testament's had in England, Will. It's brought a shaft of dazzling light to everyone. And the more the authorities try to suppress it, the more it flourishes.
Of course it flourishes. It contains God's words, not mine.
Ah, but you've brought them to the people in a language they can understand. I tell you, Will, England will never be the same again.
No, John, but the fight has only just begun. We still have so far to go before we can set their minds free altogether.
Ah, but we shall, with God's help.
Yes, yes, we shall. Now, what happened to you in Oxford?
Well, we had a marvelous secret library, hidden away in various places. But somebody informed Longland, Bishop of Lincoln, and they found our books. Wolsey was furious, of course, when he heard that our circle had been flourishing in his very own college, and he had us all rounded up and locked in the fish cellar.
For how long?
Oh, I was in there for over 6 months before he had me released.
6 months? Locked in a fish cellar?
I was one of the lucky ones. Several of the others died.
Oh.
Do I smell of stinking fish? My nostrils are still full of it.
Oh, John, you're most welcome. There's so much work to be done.
Now, when shall we see your Old Testament translation?
All the sooner. Now you're here to help me. You will help me?
Of course.
I've barely started on it. There were other things that had to be said.
Ah, yes, I read your prologue to Romans. It was very fine, Will, very fine. And your parable of the wicked mammon, it was a brilliant notion to take the parable of the unjust steward and relate it to the present state of the church.
I've just completed another book, bigger and more important than those. I call it The Obedience of a Christian Man. Yeah. It deals, I hope, with the charges laid against our movement that we want to stir up rebellion and create anarchy. Ah. And it gives comfort to all those who are suffering.
You shall read it before it goes to the printers. I should so value your opinion.
Of course, gladly.
Oh, John, it is good to welcome you to our little colony here. We shall do great things together. I know we shall.
And the Lord said unto him, This is the land which I swear to Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. Do you think, John, that might be what God has in mind for me?
We shall see our people free to read and to think and to decide for themselves. You're opening their eyes. And once they've seen, they'll know. Whatever the bishops do. I know you're worn out after all these months and months of work, but don't let your weariness speak for you. Not now.
Forgive me, John. I should be elated, not downcast.
Master Tindall! This has just come on the latest ship from England.
What is it, Coverdale?
It's a book by Sir Thomas More, Against Us.
Ah, let me see. A dialogue concerning heresies. Well, whatever he has to say, it takes long enough to say.
Four books, 184 folio pages of tight print, and such intemperate ranting.
John, I've been ennobled by Sir Thomas with a title.
What's that?
He describes me as Captain of our English heretics. I shall read this when I have a few weeks to spare.
There's the other news concerning Sir Thomas.
What's that?
He and Bishop Tunstall are coming here.
What? Where did you hear that, Mike?
It's all around the city. The King's sending Tunstall and Moore to Cambrai to negotiate a treaty with the Empire in the peace talks. They'll stop here in Antwerp on the way.
Moore and Tunstall, eh?
Aye.
If they're coming to Antwerp as friends of the Emperor, then it will be better for everyone in our colony of heretics to be somewhere else.
You think there'll be danger?
I'm certain of it. We must all scatter and find other refuge for the time being.
Well, I know where I'll go.
Where?
Wittenberg.
Oh, to Luther?
Yes. I've had a mind for quite a while to translate some of his works into English. Or where better to do it than his own university?
Ah, you'll be safe enough there, that's for sure.
Will, shall you come too?
I have my Pentateuch to see through the press.
Oh, Will, forgive me. Here I am prattling on about what I want to do and quite forgetting that our task together is not finished.
But I'll help you see it through the press, Master Tyndall, if you'll have me as your assistant.
Gladly, Coverdale, very gladly. There, John, you're relieved. Yeah. It's time you got on with some of your own work.
And where will you go? You can't print here if this place is crawling with English Catholics and their supporters.
I shall go to a safe haven that I know well. I'll go to Hamburg. Will that suit you, Coverdale?
I'll be happy to go wherever you please.
I'll take care on the journey. There's hostile territory between here and Hamburg.
We shall not go by land. Master Poyntz can obtain passages for us on a ship.
Ship?
That way we shall travel in safety.
Save thy apostles, preserve us from the deep, Lord, preserve us from thy work.
Watch out!
Into thy hands, O Lord, I commend my spirit.
Amen. The ship's going to turn over!
The mast!
Tyndall! Are you all right, Tyndall?
Abandon ship! Abandon ship!
She's going! She's going!
It's all at the bottom of the sea, Margaret. Months. Years of hard work. All my papers, my Hebrew and Greek testaments, my own few belongings. Everything. Gone.
But you were saved, my dear. Thank God. You can get more testaments and grammars and dictionaries. You can make more translations. And as to your other belongings, if I know you, they were pitiful few.
You're right. As always, Margaret, I have my life. The loss of everything else is no more than a minor setback on the road to victory.
There, you see. And there is a blessing in such a disaster.
Oh, what's that?
Until Master Coverdale gets here with the other Hebrew works you sent him for, there is nothing you can do except rest.
You're always trying to stop me working.
This time you need to rest and regain your strength. Look at you. You nearly were killed in that shipwreck.
I felt like Jonah being tossed in the storm.
It's good the sailors didn't know that. They would have thrown you over the side.
Yeah, I thought it best not to remind them of it. But I think, as a small thanks to God, I shall make a translation of the Book of Jonah. When I've remade the Pentateuch.
And such news from London while you've been away in Hamburg. Have you heard?
I've heard nothing, Master Poyntz, these last few months. Coverdale and I shut ourselves off from the world like two ancient hermits in order to get the work done.
Then you've not heard about Wolsey?
Nothing good, I trust, John.
Removed from office as Lord Chancellor. Disgraced and dead.
Executed?
Oh, no. They say he died of a broken heart.
No, that can't be true. I doubt if it's possible to break something as hard as that.
Then who is Chancellor now?
Sir Thomas More.
God be praised.
For More? You lost your senses, Will?
He's a bitter enemy to the privilege.
But he's not a churchman.
Don't you see? For the first time in centuries, the church does not hold the main position of secular power under the king.
Well, that's true enough, but More.
Believe me, I hold no love for a blinkered bigot like Thomas More. But the fact that a layman has been made Lord Chancellor of England is a cause for great rejoicing. He may not realize it himself, but his appointment is a victory for our cause.
Well, at least he'll be deprived of the support of Tunstall. He's being moved from London to Durham.
Indeed. Who's to replace him in London?
Stokesley. But I fear he'll be no friend to us. He may even be more rigorous than Tunstall was.
Well, that's a cross we shall have to bear. But there is other news, too. A cause for real rejoicing.
What's that? Has the Bishop of Rome taken a wife?
That's something you would have heard about, even in your hermitage.
The king himself has read your obedience of a Christian man and is greatly taken with it. He's reported to have said, "This book is for me and all kings to read."
Oh, this is too much. I can scarcely believe it. That book contains all my arguments.
It may be that the King of England's eyes are beginning to open at last.
Who can tell? The king has always been unpredictable. But we have a powerful ally at court now. More may be our enemy, but Thomas Cromwell is our friend, and his influence grows with every passing day.
Now, Will, have you begun your answer to More's book yet?
No, not yet. I'm writing an attack on men like Wolsey and the abuses of the church. I must finish that first. I shall send a copy directly to the king, since he liked my obedience. If the tide is turning in our favor, we must sail upon it without delay.
You're working late tonight, Tyndall?
Ah, Poins, I'm being hard-pressed by the brethren in England to publish my answer to Thomas More's attacks. It's not difficult to refute his arguments. They're so crude and violent as to be unworthy of a man with his qualities and reputation. But he wrote at such inordinate length. It takes an interminable time to unravel them.
I wonder you can see to unravel anything in this dim light.
Oh, my eyes are used to dark corners since I've been forced to live in hiding.
There's been an Englishman asking after you. Again. Searching for you.
Oh, they're always searching for me, Poins. I'm growing weary of dodging agents and eluding spies. If only the king would speak out. He must have read my practice of prelates by now.
Well, perhaps this agent has some connection with the matter. He's been in Antwerp several times in the past on commissions for the king or for Wolsey.
Who is he?
His name is Stephen Vaughan. His father is a member of the Mercer's Company.
And how is he different from the other agents who've come searching for me?
He claims to come from Cromwell, not from the bishops.
Do you believe him?
Well, I've had inquiries made about him. It seems that he was once suspected of heresy and questioned by More. And he is a friend of Cromwell.
And they say Cromwell is sympathetic to our cause.
They say it suits his purpose at the moment.
Could you arrange a meeting?
Yes, I could.
Not here, of course.
Of course.
Somewhere outside the city, I think. In the open flat fields, where he can't concede any men to seize me.
It could still be dangerous.
If I set out early enough beforehand, I could watch him to make sure he's alone, and then I could approach from the other direction, say from a village along the St. Nicholas Road. And when I leave him, I could walk away from the city into the open country so that I can't be followed. Then I can make my way back here later, secretly.
Master Vaughan? Master Tyndall?
Oh, praise God. I thought I should never find you.
Sadly, Master Vaughan, I have to live the life of a poor hunted creature, trying to leave no trail for the hounds.
Then you have succeeded very well. I have written to you at Hamburg, Frankfurt, and Marburg, and sought you in half a dozen more cities.
With what purpose?
To see if you could be persuaded to return to England, freely.
So that Thomas More could see me burn.
I do not come from Sir Thomas, Master Tyndall.
So I understand. You come, I believe, from Master Cromwell.
I come from the king.
Oh. What does his grace wish of me?
He believes you could be of great service to him, if you would only return to England.
Is this the king's own opinion, or that of Master Cromwell?
Both, I believe.
Do they think they can make use of me then, for their own ends?
Oh, I cannot answer that.
But is the king pleased with my books? I think he cannot be.
Well, I believe he did like the obedience of a Christian man.
But he's banned it from his realm, along with everything else written by me and my fellows.
To please the churchmen. Your books are considered dangerous, seditious even.
Does he think, because I'm forced to live in exile, that I'm any less true a subject? All I have tried to do is to follow God's commandment, to spread his word throughout the world, to help increase faith. All I have done in my other writings is to try to warn the king against his clergy, because their activities are so harmful to him and his realm. Surely this is the action of a true and loyal subject, anxious only to safeguard his sovereign.
I think his grace realizes that, Master Tyndall.
But will you make sure that he does?
I will, I assure you.
Does he make any conditions for my returning to England?
No, sir, he does not. But he does offer you a safe conduct.
If only I could rely on that. I would return tomorrow.
Master Tyndall, it is the king himself who offers you this guarantee of safety.
But if the churchmen decide not to honor it, what then?
How can they?
Are you really so innocent? Are you not aware that the prelates and the Lord Chancellor, Sir Thomas More himself, have stated that promises made to heretics are not binding? And that only the church may pronounce upon what makes a heretic, since heresy is defined as anything in opposition to the dogmas and doctrines of that church?
I think you were too cautious, Master Tyndall.
I've learned by bitter experience. I've seen too many of my friends thrown into prison or sent to the stake for daring to suggest that the church may be wrong in any way.
I am sure the king will be sorry to hear this. Please, I beg you, consider the offer before you turn it away.
Very well. I will consider it. I'm not as obstinate as my enemies report, nor as proud.
Are you writing more books?
I am. I have just finished my answer to Moore's attack on me. As a mark of my true respect, I shall not put it into print until the king has seen it.
Master Monmouth, sir.
What is it, Ned?
It's Master Tyndall's book, The Practice of Prelates. Yeah. We still have stocks of it, but I wonder if there'll be enough.
Well, of course there'll be enough, Ned. We had a print of over 5,000 copies.
I tell you, sir, they'll be gone as fast as we can get them into people's hands. Well, there's notices all over the city again. Only this time, they're from the king himself.
Approving the book?
Bless you, sir, no. Attacking it, because Master Tyndall condemns the notion of divorce. The king must have took the book very serious. I reckon he's in a right rage.
Poor Tyndall. He had hoped.
Oh, Master Tyndall, I am truly sorry. You should have known. You deny the possibility of divorce.
Master Vaughan, I wish for his grace's sake I had been able to do anything other. I wish it with all my heart. But the scriptures are clear, and I cannot bend my belief in that authority, even if it were to cost me my life.
It must seem strange to find yourself at one with Sir Thomas More.
Even that cannot make me change my mind. He will not bend because he thinks it's against the law of Rome, and to deny that would shake the foundations of the Bishop of Rome's authority. Sir Thomas is a lawyer, and he thinks like one.
Oh, Master Tyndall, we need men like you in England now. Do you not miss your home?
I have no home. But I do love England. That's why I'm here. Yes, I miss Cambridge. And being able to walk freely by the river on a fine summer's eve, or to sit with my fellows in the warmth of the White Horse in winter, all gathered round a good fire while the wind whistles across the fens outside, discoursing and debating with lively minds, free minds, without having to skulk in the shadows, living in fear and suspecting every man of being an enemy who might be the instrument that consigns me to the flames. Oh, yes, I miss all that.
I have been ordered to end my efforts to persuade you to return home.
I thank you for them, Master Vaughan. You're a good, kind soul.
But if you were to change your opinions, if you could change them, Master Cromwell has assured me that the king would be very happy to receive you back with all mercy and compassion.
Tell his grace that if he would grant a bare text of the scriptures, translated by whoever it may please his majesty to choose, to be circulated amongst his people as there is here amongst the emperor's subjects, I promise I would never write another word or stay here for 2 days. All I seek is that the people shall enjoy the right to read the scriptures for themselves. Until that is granted, I must continue with my work, whatever the hardships, whatever the perils.
I've heard from England, Will. Richard Bayfield has been caught with a consignment of books, and Stokesley has him in the Tower. Moore also has Richard Bainham. He's had him flogged, and he sent him to the Tower to be racked.
Will it never end, O Lord?
There's news of a burning in Portugal.
We have no one in Portugal, do we?
Your old helper, William Roy.
Friar Roy. Oh, poor Roy.
I hear they have strong wine in Portugal. It must have loosened his tongue once too often.
He was my first collaborator.
And almost your last.
He always meant well, poor man. I often had cause to be angry with him, but I'm sorry he's dead.
Yes. Now, what are we to do about the situation in London?
Someone must go over there.
But who? Coverdale's back in England, I'm told.
But not in touch with us. I'll go.
No, John. You have a wife now and a child on the way.
It's more dangerous than ever, Master Frith.
I shall be back. Never fear.
More ale, Master Frith.
Thank you, but no, I've had sufficient of everything.
Good, good. Now, on the matter of the New Testament...
Yes.
You must persuade Tyndall to bring out new editions. There are so many pirate versions being brought into England, and they're often very badly printed and in great need of correction.
I know. I have tried to persuade him, but he says he has so much other work to do still. Yeah.
His commentaries and expositions are excellent, and so is Jonah. But the New Testament is the foundation stone for all our work.
I'll try again when I return. In the meantime...
What?
What is it, Ned?
There's men outside the door. Quick!
Who?
Sir Thomas Moore and the constable of the Tower. Moore. With men at arms.
Moore himself and Kingston.
Yes, sir.
Master Frith, quickly, go out the back way. Get over the wall and run.
Right.
Hurry, hurry. They mustn't find you here. Go, man, quickly.
Well, what about you?
I'll delay them here. Hurry.
But they'll take you.
They'll take us both if you don't go. Ned, go with him. Take him to the wharf. The Arethusa sails with the night tide.
Well, God be with you.
And with you.
I come. Well, what alarms? Will you awaken the dead?
Master Humphrey, Monmouth.
Thomas Moore, this is an honor.
Men, six house.
Sir Thomas, I protest.
Every corner, every cranny.
Sir Thomas, what are you searching for?
Heresy, Master Monmouth. It is the duty of every person in authority to root out heresy and heretics, and to bring offenders to trial.
You'll find none here.
Sir Thomas! What is it, Kingston?
This, hidden behind the wainscoting.
The New Testament. In England. Take him to the Tower.
Sometimes, William, I bless your persecutors. Only when they are snapping round your heels do you come here to me in Hamburg.
I'm sorry.
Who is it this time?
It seems I have offended the king himself. Henry has ordered his ambassador in the Low Countries to have me kidnapped.
Oh, William, my dear. When will you give up this dangerous work? Haven't you done enough?
The battle is far from won, Margaret.
You could stay here in Hamburg with me. You like this house? We are good friends, are we not? You could study your books and I would look after you and take care of you. I think you need someone to take care of you, William.
Oh, Margaret, you're a good woman and I'm very fond of you.
Then why?
I cannot desert my cause. All the men and women who are fighting it with me, they look to me to lead them and to guide them.
They ask too much of you. You ask too much of yourself.
No, Margaret. It is God's work that I'm doing. I worry that I do not ask enough.
God knows how much you do, how much you sacrifice.
Are you expecting anyone?
At this time of night? No one. Stay here. I go to see. Who is it?
England.
Ned! What are you doing here?
Master Tyndall, sir, ma'am.
Ned, what is it?
Oh, Master Tyndall, thank God I found
you. Why, Ned, whatever is it?
It's Master Fritz, sir. The Chancellor's taken him. They're going to burn him.
Oh, no. No. Please, Lord, not John Fritz. Not John.
How is Will?
Oh, working as hard as ever. He'll be down soon.
I've not seen him these last 2 years or more.
Well, not many folk have since poor John Frith was burned. He's almost become a recluse.
Aye, it must have hit him hard.
And now our chief persecutor is in the tower.
How are the mighty fallen? Well, we always knew Thomas More was stiff and unbending in his prejudices. It's been the undoing of a good many of the brethren, and now it's been the undoing of Sir Thomas himself.
Unless he repents.
Oh, repent? More? Never, Master Poyntz, never. He's no more likely to change his conscience than Master Tyndall is.
Aye. For all I love him, Tyndall can be obstinate.
Ah.
Miles Coverdale. I'm pleased to see you. You're very welcome.
How are you, Will?
Feeling the cold? I'm not an old man, but I fear my blood is running thinner these days.
Oh. I shall leave you now. I have business to attend to.
How goes the work, Will?
Progressing with the Old Testament, you know. I've almost finished the next section, the histories. But have you seen what that rogue Joy has done?
What? Published his own version of the New Testament, you mean?
That I would not mind. But he's made out that it is mine, a revision of my earlier version. Which in many ways it is, except that he's made changes by the thousand without my consent, some of which are quite, quite wrong. I've been forced to bring forward my own revised version to counter it. I'm very angry with him.
Oh, that's a pity.
Why?
Because that's what I've come to talk to you about.
Joy's testament?
No. Mine.
Yours? You're working on a translation? Tell me.
Well, I think we may have found a way of getting the scriptures aloud in English.
How? In God's name, man, how?
Through Cromwell. I've been approached privately, you understand, and asked if I could make a translation of the Bible and dedicate it to the king.
Where will you print?
In London.
London?
With James Nicholson in Southwark. Cromwell believes that if we're quick enough, he can secure the king's approval.
God be praised, may God be praised, that I should live to see this day.
It's not certain yet, and there are conditions.
Oh, when politicians are involved, they're always conditioned. Well?
Well, in the first place, it must be the plain text, without glosses or notes or commentary.
Yes, yes, but will it be the text in plain English?
It will.
And the other conditions?
Are that you shall not be seen to have any connection with it.
Ah.
Well, Cromwell believes the king would reject it out of hand if he thought you had anything to do with it. I'm sorry.
Sorry? Sorry? Go to it, man. Use anything I've ever done.
If it would hurt you, I'd refuse the commission. I know I don't have your command of languages. I've no Hebrew, and, well, my Greek is doubtful, but if I could take your translation as my base...
Oh, my dear, dear Coverdale, you will do it beautifully. Do it for me. Do it for John Frith and poor William Roy and all the others who have given their lives for it. But above all, my friend, do it for God and the people of England.
Thomas? Tunstall, is it you?
It is, old friend. I'm very sad to see you come to this.
I cannot help it. I cannot turn away from my beliefs.
Oh, Thomas, couldn't you bring yourself to sign the king's paper? For the sake of your family and friends, if not for yourself. Just write your name.
You know me better than that.
Well, the rest of us have signed it. I've signed it.
But I
cannot. I cannot refute the authority of the Pope and the Holy Catholic Church. If I did, I would be as bad as any heretic.
Thomas, Thomas, no one would ever accuse you of heresy.
Except myself. I could. Don't you see what heresy has brought us to already in this country and in Europe?
We need you to help to fight the dissidents and the heretics.
While knowing that I was one myself? No, Tunstall. My time is over.
Never.
Oh, yes. Perhaps my death will serve as an example.
You've chosen a bad time, old friend. It's not like you. You know the king has agreed to Cromwell's plot to print an English Bible.
Poor England. Mark my words, Tunstall. It will bring chaos and confusion. The country will be plunged into anarchy again. Worse than the Wars of the Roses. Once the people are allowed to make their own judgments, you'll see brother set against brother, father against son. The whole nation will be in a constant turmoil, a seething mess of disorder. The common folk need to be governed. They need to be led. And led by those set in lawful authority over them. Not by evil dissidents like Tyndall and his cronies.
Exactly. They need you, Thomas. You were the best Lord Chancellor this country's ever had. I know that, you know that, the King knows it. Why throw away everything you've worked so hard for?
If I were seen to bend my conscience, that's just what I would be doing. No, Tunstall. Much as it grieves me, I have to be an example. And if that means leaving you to continue the fight without me, then so be it.
We shall fight on, I promise you.
Hunt them down. Search them out. Every last one, by whatever means you have to. If you can't burn all their pages, burn them.
Yes.
Tyndall, will you come to supper?
My pardon, Poyntz. I was so occupied with showing Master Phillips here my books, I had not realized how late it is.
Mea culpa, Master Poyntz. I have kept Master Tyndall too long.
No, no, Phillips. It's so rare for me to meet anyone new from England, and especially someone so interested in scholarship.
I come to sit at your feet, Master Tyndall. My visits to you are rare privileges.
It flatters well, doesn't it, Poyntz?
It does indeed. Did you learn that at Oxford, Master Phillips?
I find most teachers like to be praised and flattered.
I prefer honesty myself.
Well said, Poyntz.
Will you sup with us, Master Phillips?
I thank you, but no. I have other business to attend to.
At this hour?
I have friends arriving from Brussels. But perhaps you and Master Tyndall would dine with me tomorrow.
I leave Antwerp on business in the morning.
Master Tyndall, then?
Oh, I have a great deal of work to do.
Oh, I shall be so disappointed. And I know my friends are hoping they might meet you. They are reliable.
Oh, very well. I will come.
Excellent. I shall call for you here and escort you to my lodgings. Now I'll leave you to sup. I have delayed you too long already. Farewell.
How much do you know that fellow, Tyndall?
I know that he's a handsomely learned young man who is eager to know more.
I think perhaps he is too eager to know too much.
No, no, Poyntz. The tide is turning for us now. It's beginning to run in our favor. You need have no fears. Go on your travels tomorrow and forget about me. I'm sure young Phillips will take good care of me. Did your friends have a good journey from Brussels?
They did indeed. And they're looking forward very much to meeting you.
I hope they will not be disappointed when they do.
I'm sure they won't be. This way.
Down this alley.
That's right. It's rather narrow, I'm afraid. Will you go first?
Very well. Phillips? Those men there, they're armed.
Keep going.
No, we must go back. Who are they?
These are my friends from Brussels. This is your man. This is the heretic Tyndall. Take him.
Phillips, no! Oh, what are you doing?
We have a warrant from the Imperial Court at Brussels for your arrest as a dangerous heretic. Take him.
I must speak to the Procurator General. It's most urgent and important.
What is your business with me that is so urgent?
My name is Point, sir. I'm an English merchant from Antwerp.
Yes?
I have letters for you, sir, from members of the Imperial Council concerning an Englishman whom you have in prison.
William Tyndall, the heretic?
William Tyndall, the scholar, sir.
What do you want with him?
I come to seek his release, sir.
That is hardly surprising, Master Points, considering you are his prime supporter in these parts.
Phillips.
Do you know this man, Master Phillips? Only too well. He's a harbourer and defender of heretics.
Sir, I protest. I have letters on Master Tyndall's behalf from Thomas Cromwell, King Henry's secretary. It has taken me months to obtain them.
If he is all that you say, Master Phillips, my friend, then this is a dangerous man. He is all that and more, sir. If you are a supporter of creatures such as Tyndall and their vile works, it is certain that you must be a heretic yourself. I believe he is, sir, and I'm prepared to lay charges to that effect. You see, Master Points? I cannot read anything from the hands of a heretic. He should be imprisoned immediately, sir. He shall be, Master Phillips. I know my duty to the Emperor and to the Holy Father in Rome. Take this man away.
No! No! You must release Tyndall!
To His Excellency the Marquis of Bergen, Governor of Villefort Prison, from William Tyndall, Master of Arts. Right Worshipful Sir, I believe you are not without knowledge of what may have been decided about me. Wherefore I have a request for your lordship, and that by the Lord Jesus, that if I have to remain here through the winter, you will ask the commissary if he will have the kindness to send me a warmer cap from my goods, which he has, for I suffer greatly from cold in the head, and I am troubled by a constant catarrh, which has considerably increased in this cell. A warmer coat also, for the one I have is very thin. And I ask to be allowed to have a lamp in the evening. It is indeed dreary, sitting alone in the dark. But most of all, I beg and implore your clemency to impress on the commissary that he should allow me to have my Hebrew Bible, a Hebrew grammar, and a Hebrew dictionary, so that I might pass the time in that study. Thus may you obtain your utmost wishes, providing they are for the salvation of your soul. But if any other decision has been taken about me, to be carried out before the winter, I will be patient, awaiting the will of God, to the glory of the grace of my Lord Jesus Christ, whose spirit may ever guide your heart. Amen.
I could not save him, Ned. They threw me into prison and questioned me without ceasing for over a week. That venomous serpent Phillips had some 24 charges drawn against me, and I was ordered to answer them within 8 days and forbidden to communicate with anyone. Well, I knew they meant to burn me, so I managed to draw the proceedings out till Christmas Eve, when I managed to escape.
You did everything you could, Master Points, and we thank God you were able to make your way back to England.
I did not do well enough. I've lost everything I have in Antwerp, I know. A life's work. But I'd forego it all again if he would only save William Tyndall.
Amen to that, sir.
But he is condemned to the flames.
William Tyndall, by bell, book, and candle, you are hereby degraded from the priestly office.
Your ceremony has no validity. You cannot prevent me from being a priest. All Christian believers are priests.
You wish for extreme action?
No, sir. I do not. I have no need of it. And nor has any man.
Then let the execution proceed.
What I'm about to do, I beg your forgiveness, sir.
You have it, Master Executioner. Do your job.
I will make it brief, sir. I promise. You can make a last prayer.
I thank you. Into thy hands, O Lord, I commend my spirit.
Lord, open the King of England's eyes.
Ned. Oh, it is good to see you. Come now, let me look at you.
My, you look well. So prosperous.
Yes, I'm a merchant in my own right now.
What are you doing in Hamburg?
I'm passing through on business. Oh, but I had to call on you for the sake of times past.
Oh, I'm so glad you did. Come to the fire and warm yourself. You were always cold when you came to Hamburg. Do you remember?
Indeed I do. I've brought you something. Something I thought you'd like to have.
What is it?
Here. The Holy Bible, in English, which the king has commanded is to be put into every church in the land for all men to read.
Oh, may God be praised. His prayer was answered.
Aye. And though it was Master Coverdale that put it through the press, it's nearly all the work of Master Tyndall.
My poor dear William. He should have been here to see this day.
But this book can't die. This will live forevermore.
I can't see it for my tears. Will you read me something from it, Ned? If you please.
Of course. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not.
Captain of Heretics was written by Anthony Reed. William Tyndall was played by Charles Kay. Thomas Poyntz, Clifford Rose, Sir Thomas More, Hugh Dixon, and Margaret Sheila Grant. William Roy was played by Cyril Shapps. Ned, Stephen Garlick. Monmouth, John Church. Frith, Anthony Hyde. And Tunstall, John Bott. Hebblethwaite and Vaughan were played by Gordon Reed. Miles Coverdale, Sean Probert. Peter Quintal and Phillips, Sean Arnold. Other parts were played by members of the cast. The play was directed by Cherry Cookson.